Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. Footy's on the radio. And your front row.
For the Fiat Tucano with up to 15 cubic metres of cargo capacity. Move with more grunt.
Welcome to the Saturday Rub.
For McDonald's family and value box.
Triple M rocks footy.
Win last night against GWS. Trav Barco not playing today in here. We'll find out how far away from playing he is, but also how the Pies are going to go today against their arch rival, the Blues. Bristol's vault has to be heard to be believed. This time he takes on Olympic gold medalist with a line of questioning.
You play that, there's trouble.
A line of questioning that had her and him flummoxed. So we're going to get to the bottom of that. We're also sending Whispering Brian down into the Collingwood function where the legends are going to be assembled of that club over the last 50, 60 years. So, Whispery, you've just got to grab someone and get the best out of them. Roast Duck, of course, tell us something you don't know. A big, big show. Jack Silvani's going to be joining us as well for Blues fans. As we welcome everyone here. Hello, Brian.
Yes, JB. Looking forward to today. Big game today. Not really.
Domo, nice seeing you.
Hello, Jim. DT's more nervous about hosting this Collingwood function tonight than he is for what lies ahead the next 2 hours. So sharpen up, BT.
I'm completing my rundown now. If you guys throughout the day decide you want to add any little bit of info to the rundown, please do so. Those via the
Social media platforms.
At
Triple M Footy. Yep. When you say completing your rundown, you're actually starting it, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm starting the rundown. So you all get a chance to add.
Duck, here 2 hours early, Brian, in preparation for a speech tonight at the big function at Palladium.
We know he's always early, but extra early today.
Yes.
Good rap to be here today. Where else would you want to be? Seriously, Collingwood Carlton at the MCG. Both had a great win, underdogs last week, massive game today. Looking forward to it.
By the way, the best social media feedback we get at Triple M Footy, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, will win a brand spanking new Sharon. What's a brand spanker worth, Bristol, 150?
140.
200,
There you are.
200.
200.
Duck will choose the winner just before the bounce. So pile in with your feedback on the Saturday Rub or any... the thing that Bristol can mention is he's hosting this big function today.
If I sign at 250.
That's it.
If I sign at 75.
So, Bristol, tell us a bit about tonight, the Collingwood function. What does it entail, this big event, 1,000 people?
It's celebrating the 125 years that Collingwood has existed, basically. Yes. So that's what it's celebrating. 1,222 players have played for Collingwood in that 125 years. Now, roughly half of those have passed on since then, but they've been able to gather, 42 of the 59 living players that have played for Collingwood that are in the top 125.
They'll all be there tonight.
They'll be there.
They'll be at the game today.
Most of them are here today. As well as tonight.
So if they're from interstate, they've been flowing over?
So there's, Ronnie Weirmouth come down from Queensland. Leon Davis has come from over at Perth. So they're flying them in from all over the place. This is the first time that they would have got those sort of numbers. 42 of a possible living 59 here.
And did you compile the one-line biographies upon which you will announce them to the crowd? And I ask this for a reason, BT. I think you did. I tell you why I think you did, Jim.
What's the reason?
I had a look at his running sheet before, and he's got these little one line, two-time Copeland Trophy winner, James Clement.
That's it.
Get down to Brian Taylor, goal-kicking legend and superstar.
Nothing else came to mind.
I think you wrote it yourself, BT.
I could have put All Australian, Copeland, that sort of thing, but I thought, no.
Do you feel lucky and fortunate to be one of the 125?
What are you saying?
I'm just asking the question, Jim, as I do as a journalist.
I feel fortunate to have played at the greatest club of them all.
I want to know, is it going to be in order? Because there's always conjecture about number one or one to five. You could generally, there's 10 players you could sort of mix up in any order.
It's
not a particular club.
Duck, I know you like the categories, as you saw on top fives, because you always feature in them, right? But it's not about the top 125. It's about the club.
Inclusion.
It's about the big thing. It's about the 125th anniversary of the club.
I reckon that's crap. I reckon people out there want to know who Collingwood and the right people at Collingwood rank number one to number 10. People want to know. People love putting people in order.
Can you do that before 2 o'clock this afternoon, Duck?
I can have a little bit of a think
Michael
about it, but
Rod,
I don't go back. Bobby yeah. Rose and all those guys. I never saw them. Dick Lee. Those guys play Dick Lee, and I know they were legends.
Well, you should acquaint yourself with their history of your own club first, and then you can start.
Well,
Collingwood
I have with my club. I could rank the top 10 at my club.
Could you?
Pretty easy. Yeah.
I want to know, Bristol, if it's the 100, top 125, but you said about 50 are still with us.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to know if Bo Nixon's sliding in there. Luke Mullins, does he get a look in? Bristol,
well, it's a good question.
What sort of stylings are we going with here?
Probably our
Matty Loken.
Our social media platforms could send in those that perhaps may not make it.
I'm interested in who's the selection committee, Brian. Who's decided on these 125?
I think Eddie.
Ed's been in, of course.
No, I don't know for sure, but I would think Eddie. So you know, guys like Athos Histrolakis,
Aruthalakis.
Terry Keyes, you wonder whether they might not be in. Mark Bayliss, of course, from Western Australia. I remember the day he turned up and said, I'm going to be the full forward. And I said, no, you're not. That night at training, I drilled my knee into the back of his head as hard as I could and took him most of the year to recover.
I think that was in your book, wasn't it?
Probably.
I think we read that out 1 week.
A couple of the interstaters, Robert Pyman.
It was a North.
And Grantley Filkey.
Yeah, Grantley Filkey.
Brad O'Brien, Brad Smith. There's a few.
Bristol's just wandering through them all.
There's a few there. Andrew Yukovic. There's a few there that are being considered.
Not unique to Collingwood to have some players that mightn't feature. But all right, Bristol, before we get on to last night, because we need to talk about that, you will be emceeing the big function?
Yes, I'll be.
And Ed will obviously get up and speak. What else is part of the...
Ed's the only speaker,
on
the night. It's not going to be one that's a lot of speeches and stuff. Ed's the only speaker. The players will be formally introduced, and then we'll have Wind Beneath My Wings with... Colleen Hewitt, who's a great Collingwood supporter herself.
Absolutely.
Top of the pops in the 70s and 80s.
Massive.
She's fantastic. And we're going to finish with Delta Goodrum, who's Australia's number one artist going around at the moment.
Delta.
Yes.
Nice.
Delta. So she'll be there, and the Melbourne Youth Orchestra will be there.
Will you have a tuxedo on, Bristol?
No, it's a lounge suit.
Lounge suit.
Surely if you're introducing the players, you've got to have 10 down to number one.
Duck.
Duck, let it go.
Duck. It's not about individuals. It's about the 125th.
What's the point of naming a list if you're not going to give the top 10?
You've got it wrong, mate.
No, I
it's haven't. Not.
A... Well, let the Triple M audience decide.
Yes.
Let us.
Hang
you
on.
Tell us whether this is a load of crap unless they name the top 10.
I will read what the night is titled, and this may finally get through to you.
What?
The 125th year gala ball. It's not the 125 top players. It's celebrating the 125 years.
Well, why are you even naming 125 players?
There's
then,
already 100.
If you can't have an order.
In a previous book written by Michael Roberts, there's already 100 players that have been named. They're
so adding, you're
adding 25.
25. So why can't you have an order of that 125?
This is a holistic, bigger picture of the 125 years.
What? I was interested. Now
I'm
not.
Everything you're involved in
involves
a list, because you know why? Because you would have been on the top of the list all the time, and that's all you ever consider as lists.
I've got text messages coming through here from ex-Collingwood people.
It's like your program on 7.
And they are saying...
the top 5 Bs.
It's now...
The top 5 Cs.
It's now a load of crap, because we're not going to know who the top 10 Collingwood players are.
Well, you do it for them, Duck.
At Triple M Footy, by the way, if you've got some suggestions as to who might enforce their way into that 125, we'd like to hear from you.
I can give you the top 25 if you want.
I just got a text. Oh. Who's Danny Roach?
I can give you the top 25 if you want. The top 25 of the team of the century over the last 100 years.
Hey, Bristol, I want to know what your stylings will be, because we've all done lots of functions with you. I happen to love the way you go about it, because you've got nice command up on stage of anyone who gets out of line.
You want me to start?
Who's not listening
So I just got a text from someone that used to be at Collingwood. Danny Roach was number one draft pick, one game, and then went home.
He's on the list.
I don't think he'll be in the top 125, but it doesn't matter, because they're not giving us an order anyway.
I start with JB.
Yes, come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, could you please take your seats?
Oh, yes. And what if a couple struggle a bit, Bristol?
And I'll repeat that only once more, ladies and gentlemen. And then it will be in your seats, please. And then it'll be, the quiet.
Do you do the shh, shh, shh?
Yeah.
Yep.
In mid-sentence. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Do you have a little couple of henchmen around the room to assist your cause on that?
No, it's done purely by me.
The voice.
100,000 people bristle. It's going to be...
Good luck.
It's pretty easy.
If they win, they'll be half cut when they get there.
They will.
If they lose, they'll be three quarters. Today,
but anyway, look at it. It'll be good. And I've got a beautiful speech here written.
Bristle, you will dominate. I just want to know if with a room and a function of that sort of gravitas, whether you go about it your normal way, which is to get nice and personal and direct with anyone who doesn't do as they're told.
I don't individualise, but I will point out table numbers.
Yeah.
But not individuals.
Have you themed your speech so we can see in front of you now? Is there a nice storyline running through?
There is. It's themed around the 125 years of Collingwood, Damo.
But you normally insert yourself into these things. Are you in there?
No, I'm not.
I was a young boy from Busselton back in 19... I'd been booted out of Richmond Footy Club when Michael Rhodes kept kicking goals.
That's enough.
Yeah. I like it, Bristle. Yeah. I'm looking forward to some feedback on it. Last night, we need to talk about the Saints. Very, very good. Joey Montagna going to join us shortly. But probably, Duck, we need to focus on the other mob a bit, I reckon, GWS. They need, and you guys are at the ground, it's always easier when you're at the ground to see what's happening. TV doesn't give you, just because they focus so tightly on the ball. But a couple of times in that back half, Duck, you guys at Seven provided us with some magnificent behind-the-goals footage of the ground. They weren't defending the ground at all, GWS, and therefore just got sliced up about four times in that last 20 minutes. And I put it to you, if they don't learn how to defend the ground, that's going to keep happening to them.
Well, look, they obviously lost that first game against Adelaide. That was a terrible loss for them. And then they've been pretty good since. And we saw them live last week against the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs should have won that game, but they found a way, GWS. And for such a talented team, and when they're under pressure, I thought, you know what, this might be sort of the making of them. They've found a way to win when they haven't played their open, free-flowing footy, which the Bulldogs didn't allow them. Once again last night, they had their moments where they were able to get out and you know, play that skillful brand. But St Kilda bought their A-grade pressure. They tackled ferociously. I know the tackle count was fairly similar, but the tackles that St Kilda laid, other than Mummies for GWS, which we know he always hurts, they just stuck. They were ferocious, and they put them under all sorts of pressure. And right now, you'd have to say GWS, now we've seen them live now, BT, 2 weeks in a row. If they don't get it their own way, they struggle. And under extreme pressure... There's some question marks that now are being asked. And there were a couple of spot fires last night, and we saw a couple of times Stevie J with Jeremy Cameron having a little bit of a heated discussion. I don't mind that. There was also a situation with the captain, Phil Davis, and Lobb, where Phil Davis actually pushed him and fired him up. I said on the night that I didn't know whether that there was too much in that, because we don't know whether Lobb likes that or not. But there's just a couple of little cracks starting to open up at GWS.
But if you had to form an opinion on where you think they sit in the competition at the moment, where would you have them placed?
Well, talent alone says I still think they'll finish top four.
Right,
BT.
But that's on talent. They need to tinker around the edges with some more team.
Absolutely, they do. They've got to learn how to, when they're under extreme pressure. And last night, that pretty footy can't be played when you're under that real footy. You've got to know when to adapt. You can't go for certain handballs and that speed and that overlap run that we know that they're really good at. You've got to slow things down at times when you're under extreme pressure. And I didn't think they were able to do that. And then St Kilda, well, they beat them at their own game in the end. Mm. They just ran over the top of them in that last quarter.
Well, St Kilda last year, they've improved dramatically. Last year, they were the 18th worst team through the corridor. Just couldn't get it through the corridor. Forced wide. Early in the game last night, looked like it was going to be the same thing. They forced them wide. And eventually, they found their way through the corridor. And I thought that's the big improvement. The other thing about St Kilda, Alan Richardson mentioned this in his press conference, was that they have been able to maintain that pressure. There's guys like Jack Steele, who's great. I know Weller didn't play, but he's a great pressure player as well. There's a couple of others in the team.
What about Geary? Geary doesn't. Yeah. That's why his name captain. He was sensational last night.
But they've been able to maintain that pressure for one, two, and three quarters.
Yep.
They have never been able to complete a game with that sort of pressure. Now, there were stages last night where GWS got two or three goals in front. You thought, oh, gee, it's gone again. And they've been able to regroup, go again. And that would have pleased Alan Richardson that they were able to maintain the thrust of that real deep pressure on GWS.
Duck, one thing we've never had to doubt to this point of their life with the Giants is depth. Do we now have to factor that into our considerations, given that Haynes was out last night already, Kennedy's gone down, and we're still awaiting confirmation that it could be season ending? Deledio, I know he hasn't played a game yet, but there is some doubt, as BT said.
No timeline.
You've got Griffin, who is not the Griffin at his peak at the Bulldogs, but he's yet to come back as well. Are they now suffering? Whitfield will come back in pretty soon.
Well, Whitfield comes back. Green's got another week to run. They've got depth. They've got the most depth along with the Bulldogs.
Down back, though, with Haynes and now Kennedy.
Oh, look, down back, you're right. They've lost two of their running defenders.
But they've found a couple in Taranto and
a couple of others. No, I'm not concerned about their depth. You know what? For me, with GWS, it's one thing. They're a young team. You're going to get inconsistencies. They're massively talented. We already know that. It's all above the shoulders for me. It's how they prepare. I said this when they lost by a kick in the preliminary final last year. I said, if they think they're just going to roll up in 2017, BT, and win the flag or finish top four, they are kidding themselves. And I think they're getting a little bit of a wake-up call already this year to say, yeah, we're talented, but if we don't really prepare properly, not physically, because they are very fit young men, and Tom Scully, oh, he was absolutely brilliant last night. He certainly prepared the right way. But if they don't, the competition's that close, you get sat on your bum, and that's exactly what happened to them again last night.
I reckon it's a glorious one for Leon Cameron last night, Duck. I reckon he can go into the review with that and say, listen, you blokes, unless you start taking defending seriously, this is going to continue to happen to you. It's not always going to be that you win every 50-50 contest. It's not always going to be that you catch it in the air four to the... There are times in footy you've got to respect your opponent and defend the ground, and they just did not that second half and got opened right up. We obviously need to talk about last night's game further, because the Saints have won their fourth game of the season. They're 4-3, took down a big scalp on a Friday night, which is very important for this emerging list and, of course, the club in general. And a star of that team is Joey Montagna, and a great friend of ours at Triple M Footy, and he joins us now. Joey, I imagine it'll be very nice coffee where you've had, maybe down Church Street in Brighton today.
Yeah, you're right, JB. It's nice to wake up on a Saturday morning after having a good win like that. So, well-deserved day off for the boys today.
Gee, you maintained the pressure well, Joey. That was the question mark. We all know that you've been pretty good at times in that area, but you nailed it for the entire game.
Yeah, I heard you say that earlier, BT, and I think you're right. I think that's the challenge for this group. We know that that's the style of football we need to play, and we've been able to do it for three quarters, three and a half quarters, but haven't been able to sustain it. And That's what a good teams do, though. The great teams are able to apply pressure every week in, week out for four quarters, and hopefully we can continue to build on that, and the boys realise that if we continue to play like that, we'll certainly be in a lot more games.
Hey, Joey, I want to go back a step. Was it spoken about that you were playing Friday night footy? I believe it was your first Friday night game for 6 years. So did Richo speak about that and say, you know what, boys, we want more of these. Let's make a good account of ourselves. Was it mentioned at all?
Might have been mentioned that, you know, obviously the football world watches on a Friday night, and it was a big stage to show everyone our brand of football and how we want to play, but it wasn't too big of a focus. I think that we had enough to worry about dealing with GWS and what they were going to bring, but really it was just for us to continue to keep playing our way and to, as we said, do it for four quarters, and we knew the football world would be watching and to make sure that we put on a good show, and I thought, to the boys' credit, we did that really well last night.
What's the most exciting part of it for you, Joey, right now?
Oh, I think the young boys that are stepping up and are playing some really top-level football. I thought, you know, Seb Ross's last quarter was enormous. Jimmy Webster and Dylan Robinson are coming of age, you know, and then seeing guys like Blake Akers and Jack Sinclair and Minchington continue to step up and play good football. I think that's the exciting thing that all Saints fans should be really pleased about, because they were the ones last night that won the game for us.
I agree, Joey. No disrespect, but when yourself and Nick Riewoldt don't have a massive influence, it hasn't been too many times over the last, I couldn't tell you how many years, where you guys have won the game without having massive games. So that is the most pleasing thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You're spot on, Duck. Both through and I were pretty quiet last night, and to see some of our young emerging leaders step up was great. And That's all part of building this self-belief that they believe they belong and that they're good enough. And we probably found ourselves just wanting in that West Coast and Geelong games that, you know, did we believe we were good enough to really take the game by the scruff of the neck? And I thought last night those young emerging leaders really stepped up, and hopefully now they've got the self-belief that not only are they good enough, but this team's good enough to go places this year.
There are a couple of moments in the game that I thought defined St Kilda. I thought one of them was involving you, Joey, in the last quarter. It was very early in the last quarter. You're down 7 points at three-quarter time. In the last quarter, I think it was the first of the Acres goals, where you kicked in from fullback after GWS had kicked a point. You had to just get it over the top of the fingertips of one of the GWS guys that it was sitting on the 50 line. So it was an incredible kick. It opened up the back of the field completely and they went down, you guys went down untouched and then the goal was kicked. What were you thinking before you made that kick?
Yeah, no, that's something that we identified, BT, in our losses to West Coast and Geelong, that we just need to keep being bold in those last quarters and not get conservative and not play safe. And we probably found ourselves in those games just being a little bit safe, not wanting to make mistakes. So it was something that we had spoken about. And as a leader, I've got to have that confidence to take the responsibility to still be bold and bring the ball back into the corridor or take some risky kicks, because you're right, if you do that with the team defences these days, you will score goals. And it's important to continue to play our way, you know, whether it's the first quarter or whether scores are level, you know, late in the last. And that's something that we've continued working on as a team, and it worked for us last night.
Talking about your brand of footy, which was sensational last night, and BT just touched on it. Us from the outside looking in, we wondered why Geary got given the captaincy, because we don't see you play a lot. The times I've seen you play live this year, the tackle that he laid on Patton in a big moment, and it just stuck. And you see that all of the St Kilda supporters go up whenever he goes near the ball, just because of the pressure he applies. I now know why he's the captain of that footy club.
Yeah, you're spot on, Duck. I mean, we want to base our game on our contest and then our pressure, and no one exemplifies that more than Jarryn Geary. He's just one of our most courageous players and a selfless player, and puts his body on the line. He's been doing it for a few years now, and you know, he leads the way in that regard. And now we've got some other players, you know, Jack Steele and Kobe Stevens coming on board this year, and a few other players jumping on board. And that's the basis of our brand, is it starts with the contest and pressure, and then when we do get the footy, to be able to play bold and aggressive. And he certainly leads the way in that area.
Joey, you've been around the block enough times to not get ahead of yourself, but now that the club has got a scalp within the confines of 2017, and now that you're on a bit of a roll, and now that you're rattling off these young players who are standing up every single week, do you now feel you're in a situation where you're not going to put a ceiling on what the possibilities are in this season?
Yeah, it's a good point, Dame. I think the last couple of weeks have really helped our maturity and self-belief. I think, first of all, knocking over, even though we know it's not the same Hawthorn team, still mentally for a group to beat Hawthorn and for us to win interstate was a big step. And then, again, to take another step last night on Friday Night Footy, beating a top four team, certainly now I think that should springboard the group and the confidence that, if we play our brand of football in the way that we want to play, we shouldn't fear anybody. And you're right, there is no limits now on what can be achieved. And I know it's been spoken about what the Bulldogs did last year, but if you continue to play a great brand of footy and apply the pressure that we did last night, week in, week out, you know, we'll give ourselves a chance. And it'd be really disappointing if we let ourselves slip now in the next few weeks and not play to that level. So that's something that we're going to have to now work on. But it's a much better position to be in to make sure that we don't drop off than trying to look for improvements and areas to grow. So the group, hopefully should be really confident with how we go about it now and can build on this performance.
And Joey, just to further expand on your own role within this current crop of players, I know you've been transitioning for some time, but have you got to the point now where you're really comfortable with what your role is? And can you actually even enjoy watching others now take the responsibilities that you once had for a very long time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that, Nick and I have been looking for a while now to be able to just play a role where we can lead and play our roles really well, but have these other guys, as I said earlier, step up and take the game by the scruff of the neck. And that's been the pleasing thing that's grown this year. I think down in the back line where I've been playing, watching Jimmy Webster and Dylan Robinson evolve has been great for my football and great to help see them grow and evolve. And now same with these young midfielders. So, yeah, Nick and I are certainly comfortable, and I'm comfortable with the role that I've got in the team and still helping these young guys, you know, do what they need to do to win games of football. And it's going really well at the moment.
Now, Joey, I'm a bit of a body language expert, categorise myself that as Duck, and also I can part lip read. Now, at the conclusion of last night's game, I saw you approach young Josh Kelly. I don't know whether you know him or not, but it looked like you looked like a nice warm embrace, Joey, and it looked like that, you know, perhaps you might have even, I don't know, whispered to him that it'd be nice to see you at St Kilda next year.
No, I just said to him, you're a nice player, Josh. I like the way you go about your footy, and good luck for the rest of the season. That was all BT.
You sure?
Yeah, I just said I like his style of footy, and I enjoy the way he goes about it, and I believe he's good mate with Jack Steele, and I think they might even catch up this weekend. So I just said, you know, make sure you have a coffee with Jack Steele, and I like his football, but no, I just said all the best of the year.
You sure?
Yes,
he's big on this, Joey. He reckons he's got a lip reader to look at what you said, and he bounded into the building this morning and said, I've got a story here.
I did not.
I'm believing him, Joey.
What do you reckon your lip read, BT?
I think you said, great to see you. It'd be great to see you at St Kilda next year.
No, I didn't say that. No. I didn't. I love the way you go about your footy. I love the way you go about your footy, Josh.
I think he's aligned with a club just west of Melbourne anyway, Joey, so bad luck with that. Now, listen, I want to ask you about three-quarter time because I saw you and your great mate, Nick Revolt, and it took a while for this conversation to stop. I want to know what that was about, please.
I got a bit frustrated at three-quarter time. He was manning the mark when Devin Smith was having a shot from 60, and I could see that Devin Smith wasn't going to be able to make the distance from there, and he was probably going to have to play on and wheel around, and I was just a bit flat that Rui took a bit long to realise that and allowed Devin Smith to get a bit of a run-up and kick the goal. So I'm one of the only few blokes in the team that can let Rui know that, so I did, but I gave a little pat on the bum after, and we were back into business.
I was about to say, how did the superstar take your pretty direct feedback?
Yeah, no, he doesn't take it too well, but he's doing well.
Hey, mate, everyone's loving the way you're going about it. That's, I think, the key to this. 4-3 is brilliant, but every time the Saints are on telly, it's just compulsive viewing.
They're
for all of
watch.
Us.
They are,
fantastic
yeah.
to watch. So congratulations on everything you're doing, and you got Carlton, Sydney and the Dogs before the bye, so a big 3 weeks. Good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
He's amongst the finest interviewers of our time.
I'm unforgettable.
When he's on the clock, Parco, Denton and Oakes take notice.
I am the man.
He's one of the best. This
is about me.
Is Bristol's Vault.
It's not my fault.
This is what happened,
Brian. It's nothing to do with me.
Secret package arrived at Triple M of tapes of interviews from the early 90s.
91.
We heard, of course, George Foreman last week.
I was just a kid.
Well, we heard BT. We didn't hear George Foreman last week because he was taking other phone calls.
Three times in the interview, George just stopped talking to Brian and took a phone call. So we heard that last week as the first version of Bristol's Vault.
You can't do this.
This time, Damo, he catches up with five-time Olympic gold medalist and the first ever gymnast to record a perfect 10 in the Olympic Games, 1976 in Montreal. I speak of the great Nadia Comaneci. And what I want you to do here is have a listen to just the warmth with which she gets around Bristol's line of questioning and Bristol's own sort of ponderances mid-interview. Have a listen.
5 seconds, Nadia Comaneci. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, our next guest burst onto the scene way back in 1976, and she really captured the world's imagination and won many hearts around the world with her fantastic performance in the world of gymnastics in the 1976 Montreal Olympic Games. I speak of probably the greatest gymnast of all time, Nadia Comaneci. Good morning to you, Nadia.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, Nadia, whereabouts are you living now, and what are you doing with yourself now?
So I'm living in Montreal in Canada, and I have a lot of projects to do.
Sorry, Nadia?
Yes.
Yeah. What about Bella Coralli? Why did you end up splitting up in that partnership, coach-gymnast relationship?
When you mean in 78?
Yes, after the Olympics.
Because the government split us.
Right, so it was no fault of either of you. It was the government
It was a decision. if you have no comment.
So you were forced to go to Bucharest?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, was it true that in your first international competition that you failed badly?
First international competition?
Yeah, before 1976 Montreal Games, in one of your big competitions that you only, I think, scored 7.25 on the beam. Was that true?
Yeah, this was when I had 9 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was...
Did you feel like giving up then or not?
Why? I didn't start gymnastics for win medals.
Mm.
I start because I love to do gymnastics.
What about your...
My hard work, I became an Olympic champion.
Mm. What, is it ever possible that Romania, there was some talk that Romania may have not competed at the Montreal Olympics. Did that ever occur to you?
If Romania didn't compete at the 76 Olympics?
Yeah.
I didn't understand the question.
Yeah, what, there was some talk officially whether Romania were going to let their team go and compete in the Montreal Olympics in 76 because they didn't feel that they were good enough. Did you know anything?
I didn't hear anything about this.
Mm. What about when you were training in the lead up to the 1976 games and the lead up to the World Championships, especially between the Montreal and the World Championships? You became a little bit older, as you say. You grow up into a lady.
Yeah.
What about boys and boyfriends and parties? Do you think that you missed out on a lot of that?
The boys?
Yeah.
No, because I have time now. It's not. It's something that I didn't regret. I'm very happy that I did this, and I choose to be to do gymnastics because you have all the time for the boys.
Yeah, that's right. You got the rest of your life.
But the boys don't leave the country. My boys.
Plenty of fish in the sea, you think?
Uh huh.
What about yourself? Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Are you planning to be married?
Yeah, I'm a normal person. I'm planning to be married. I'm planning to have a family, of course. But when the time comes.
We know you're very busy. And best of luck with whatever you do. And you really have been one of the greatest athletes and certainly the greatest gymnast of all time. Thank you, Nadia Comaneci.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I hope to see you in Australia when I will be there, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, Nadia.
With pleasure.
Oh, brutal. Seriously.
Now, listen. There'll be no more of this.
Yeah, Damo.
That's better.
Two takeouts for me. Yeah. Firstly, the pronunciation of a surname, Nadia Comaneci.
That's what it was.
And then he talks about how she had a disappointing meet prior to the Olympics. She said, I was only nine. And then Bristol said, did you think about giving up?
And then
9 years of age.
And then she said, no. And he goes,
Can't be any more.
And then wanted to go real deep in current affairs style and delve into her private life.
Are there plenty more fish in the sea? Brian.
Marvellous. Oh, that is golden.
Okay, yeah.
She was nine.
That's the bit I... Bristol, when he just needs half a second to think about the next question, just a little...
You had a really off tournament. Oh, I did get a 7.25.
I've got a headache laughing.
Oh no.
I'm going to be destroyed.
Oh, goes to show one thing, you improve as you do this job longer.
Oh, no. Bristle, that is absolute liquid gold. And I'm hearing, Damo, this package we received, there are hundreds of them.
More than this.
So we've got interviews coming out of the Wahoo.
I thought George Foreman could not be surpassed, but that's already beaten it by 10 lengths.
Oh, no. Brian, that is gold. Oh, that's what that is.
Feel sick.
Common inch.
I was nine.
After that disappointing performance, did you think about giving up? I was actually only 9 years old. Oh, Bristle. That's the funniest thing I've heard for a good 12 months. News before we get down into the function down there, Damo?
There is, Jim, and it is that Daniel Wells is a late withdrawal for today's game for Collingwood, and Broomhead comes in. So Wells not playing at all until the Anzac Day game on a Tuesday, backed it up in round 6, Duck, with the Sunday game against Geelong, and was a really good contributor in both of those games. But now Boddy, which he's had issues with for some time, says that he's sore and will not be playing today.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it, Bill? Well, like you said, he played quite well in that first game, and he played well again, as you said, last week. But to back up after such a short break, that's the concern, and obviously hasn't come up again now. So do you rest him last week to make sure that he comes up this week? Well, they needed a win.
Mm.
They really needed a win.
And they got it.
They got it, so...
Yeah.
You'd have to say it's worked.
It is. This morning, Alistair Clarkson, Jim, has spoken to the media by way of his weekly press conference and reflected upon the harsh words he gave post-match last week when they had lost to St Kilda. And we recall he used the word catastrophic change in the event of nothing improving.
Yeah, I'm about to say, if it doesn't improve.
Correct. And he's given a context to that statement, which he has as the week's unfolded, but also to a slight, I think, tinge of regret about how strong and vocal he was post-match last week.
I probably got wound up in the emotion a bit. It's probably a poor choice of words by me, and knowing full well that that would probably be referenced a fair bit throughout the course of the week. Our club has never really been about dealing with things in a catastrophic manner. So, given the review of the game, just disappointed right at that point in time that we played so poorly, and I didn't actually say there was going to be a catastrophic change this week. It's just like... would that be somewhere down the track?
So he's given a context to it. I think once we saw the team come out on Thursday night with Langford and Brand being the only two omissions, that we felt that he was probably backtracking on that. But again, the context was lost at the time. But as he acknowledges there, when he uses the phrase catastrophic change, Duck, the media is going to take that, and rightly so.
Yeah, he did use, as JB said, and I pointed out last week when I heard his comments, if this continues.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He always knew that he was going to have trust in a team and players that have given him such great service. It was never going to be off the back of, and let's be honest, we've had three really poor performances, but that was one in a row. They'd had a good win and then that one. He was always going to give those guys at least another week to show what they can deliver. And I thought that's what he'd do, and he has done it.
I reckon they'll win this game. This is a very good Hawthorn. Well, very good. It's the best Hawthorn side almost for the year, I reckon, they've got in. Birchall's huge for them, and obviously Rioli is too.
Yep.
And Melbourne, I keep saying it, Purple, they are getting there. And I like, obviously, Goody a lot. I know you do too, Duck. And they're starting to get to where they want to be. But these are the games that just have a red flashing light over them for Melbourne. They have a good win last week. They come up against a team on paper they probably should beat. And they just cough them up. So this is a fascinating game in Melbourne's development, and also if Hawthorn have got any of that steel left.
If that's the frame of mind, though, that Melbourne are in, then it's just a completely wrong frame of mind, because they beat Hawthorn late last year, and that was their really good win. And then if you remember, they got flogged by Geelong, I think, a couple of weeks later in the last round. But they should be looking at Hawthorn as still, and they still are, a good football team. Mm. Okay, they've had some poor performances this year. They shouldn't be going in at all thinking that this is just a walk-up start that they should win. So for me, if they're prepared the right way, then this is going to be a cracking game. I agree, though. It's a toss of the coin right now. I think I tip Melbourne in the game only because The Jordan Lewis factor.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only reason why I've gone with Melbourne.
But if they're serious in their emergence, Duck, is well, I guess what I'm saying, then this is a game they've got to win.
Well, they beat them last year.
Yep. So we will see what happens there. But Clarko, interesting.
Okay, guys, I want to talk about Paddy McCartan, Duck. I want to get your views on it. 7 goals in the VFL last week, and quite courageously, Alan Richardson left him out of that team last night, and more than justified with how that game unfolded, with the taller forwards he's got in Revold, in Bruce and Membry, and the configurations of that forward line. It comes a point, though, when a guy who keeps performing in the VFL, which he's doing, needs to be brought back into the team.
Does he play again today? When do they play?
He's been selected for VFL action on the weekend.
For me, when you get sent back to the VFL, especially as a young man, sometimes one game doesn't cut it. Okay, you can go back and kick a 7 BT. I think you've got to go back maybe and have a couple of good weeks. But I agree, if he plays well this weekend in the VFL, I watched Nick Riewoldt last night, and I know Nick won't like me saying this because he's a champion of the game, but he has to be managed. He hurt his knee earlier in the year, BT.
Yep.
Had a shot from about 55 out last night, which when he's completely fit, he has a go at that. He put it to the top of the square knowing that he couldn't. He was hobbling around, didn't have his greatest game. I don't think he's anywhere near 100% fit. McCartan plays well. I'd almost say next week, Nick, have a week off, get your body a little bit closer to 100% fit, bring McCartan in, once again, off the back of a good performance, though, this weekend, and maybe give him a rest. A
couple of things on McCartan, I reckon. Number one is, the word is that he's gone back, he's got to learn the game. So, yeah, while he might pick up the odd senior game that along the way as well.
How can you be a number one draft pick and you're still learning the game?
Oh, because you don't know everything as a number one draft pick. That just points out your skill level rather than where you're at in your footy. There's a lot of other things. Maybe it's stuff we don't know about, Duck, like team or stuff like that, that perhaps has to be further ingrained into him. So I reckon there's a fair element of that. I reckon they're really happy for him to learn that at VFL level. I reckon the other thing is there's been a bit of an odour with McCartan about, you know, there's that sort of thing as, has St Kilda picked the right player here? There's a little bit of that hanging around him. And I can absolutely tell you, after having spoken to a couple of people at St Kilda, that they think they have got a beauty. They think that he will be everything that he's been reputed to be and more. They are very happy with his progress.
Play him, BT.
They are not. Well, they don't have to play him, Damo.
Well, he's going to get disgruntled, isn't he?
Damo. They are 4-3 without him.
I'm talking about him. He's going to get frustrated with the lack of opportunity.
But hang on. It's not about him. It's about the team and the team results. They are 4-3 without him. They have got 3 talls playing ahead of him that are playing reasonable football.
So do you think, though, BT, to go back to what I said, does he need to play then, given that he's had the one really good game last week where he kicked a bag of goals? So if he plays well again this weekend, do you think he still needs another 1, 2, 3 games in the VFL despite his form?
That will be determined on what is happening above him.
If Nick Riewoldt isn't 100% fit.
If 2 fall over, or as you say, Nick Riewoldt is managed, then something happened. Let me tell you something about Paddy McCartan. Then he's not now playing because there's 3 talls in front of him. Because very easily, and they've done it before, they've done it a couple of times already where they've played all 4 of them. They just push Riewoldt up to the wing, Paddy McCartan goes back to the 50, and that's the way they'll deal with it. And that's the way they have played them in the past.
So it's not the configuration of those big men up forward?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
They have played that group before.
Well, Juddy and Hodgie last night were saying it was, that they all couldn't fit in. So you're saying something different.
Well, I'm telling them that they're wrong.
Well, I sort of tended to agree with Juddy a little bit, BT, only because of the pressure that you have to apply on the way out. And I wouldn't think McCartan is a fantastic pressure player on the way out. So you do have to be very careful in this game, in the modern game, what sort of players. If you go too tall up there, and we've seen it happen far too often, it's just far too easy to bring the ball out. So that is a concern.
These are all Juddy's and your individual thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm talking about where the club's coming from, what the club think of him, where the club think he'll be played, how they think he'll be played, who he'll be played with. These are more thoughts coming from that direction
You are close with Richo, and you know, and you speak to people down at St Kilda. So, if anyone's going to know, then you probably would.
I just think it's a case of
you're mates with Richo.
When someone's a number one pick, we almost think it's incumbent and automatic that they should reserve the right. Well, no, if they haven't got things that measure up in a team perspective, then they're going to have to learn those, and we're not privy to those. I don't know what those are.
Jack Steele and the Rush Hour this week, Purple said, best hands in the club by far, Paddy McCartan. So internally, I think they love what he has.
They are very happy with
it. It's just how they can get him playing regularly and playing well, and obviously we'd all love to see that because he's a big power forward. News, big news.
Yeah, Daniel Wells out for the Collingwood team, as we said before. Broomhead in. Adam Kennedy, the Giants gym, has been confirmed to have done his ACL, and that would be a 12-month injury, you would seemingly think. And we can't keep up with the feedback on the social media platforms about Triple M Footy, and just a sample. Andrew,
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, yes.
Everywhere. Andrew Valance, plenty of fish in the sea. He loved that line. Mm. BT, crying with laughter. Liam McMahon, I had to pull over in the car. I needed 5 minutes to recover after BT's verbal shipwreck.
This is Bristol's vault, of course, with Nadia Comaneci.
Comaneci, as he called it. Yep. And Adam Hubble here, who... you guys are killing me. I had my appendix removed a few days ago, and I'm trying not to laugh. Yep. There's a lot of references, BT, to the...
probably got to put a bit of a stop to the vault.
It won't be. It's the golden trail. It'll just keep on keeping on.
Hurting my brain.
Mark Haywood thought you were trying to tune the Romanian gymnast, BT. Fish in the sea.
I think there's also... we're trying to see who's going to sneak into the top 125 Collingwood players. Purple, I reckon there'd probably be some suggestions as to how we should roll with that too.
Yeah. Jesse White's getting a look in there. Dermot Burton, who played for that one season of 95. He actually wasn't too bad, was he?
Sam Kekovic played 4 games.
He did.
He did.
A couple of cloaks are getting a mention. Dale Woodhall, Clinton King, Jason Dale Wild, yeah. Mickey Gafer. You'll get a few references here, BT.
BT's in there.
Mason Cox, Brad Hardy.
Brad Hardy at Triple M Footy, by the way, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. The Duck will choose the best of the feedback from today, and you'll take away a brand new Sharon.
And I've just been down to the Collingwood function below, 125 years celebration going on down there with Ed. Just a little bit late. Up down there. No, the event. Oh,
the event's late, right?
Yeah, okay. So 20 minutes late.
So the running sheet just pushed back a touch, Bristol. So
it was running late, wasn't it?
And I did feel sort of out of shape without a suit on down there. Wearing the T-shirt.
Right. Any past players present that you saw, Banksy? Or
well, there was a table for 10 there, and there were 2 there at the stage.
Well, we will we'll relieve you of that duty, Bristol. We won't make your head down there. As I said, Trev Varco not far away. Jack Silvani to join us as well. Purple, what else have we got news-wise, please?
Okay, yeah, we touched on this off the top, but Josh Kelly in town this weekend, BT, looking at sorting out his own future over the weekend, really. The Giants feel that he's going to use this time, Jim, today and tomorrow to do so, and yeah, he's obviously staying with family. He's going to hit up his friends. His management, you know, is obviously going to be part of these conversations. And while we're not going to get a public...
There's no secret of this then, Damo. They've been open and up.
Leon Cameron last night on the huddle, BT, before the game, really open. And I think professionally handling a situation that they know is in play. And that is that the offer from North Melbourne is so significant that he has to consider it. And it may well be that it's too good to say no to. And I think they've got their heads around it.
What about the offer from St Kilda?
It's clearly they're in play because they've, for some time now, as far back as October, have put that offer to Nat Fyfe. They are also quietly confident on Lachie Whitfield as well. They're not dying wondering, the Saints. They are the most active in this space. They're going to have probably at least $1.5 million fresh money to inject into 2018, and quite possibly more if they have to move someone out as well. So they're in there to really do some damage there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he could well be considering the St Kilda offer as well, but it is not as long and it is not as financially lucrative as... I still feel, for what it's worth, guys, that Kelly will stay on a two-year plus an option at GWS. I know that sort of flies in the face of what most people are thinking, Duck, on this, but they have put a good offer to
him. Well, most people stay, don't they? Most people stay.
Yeah, they do. It just depends. He's a young gun, and he'll look at... And it's interesting. If the Kangaroos, you're way up, you say St Kilda, ahead of the Kangaroos at the moment in terms of their list and where they're at, playing finals footy, you know, you've got to weigh all of that up, BT, because players... don't generally just leave.
No. His family live in Melbourne?
Yeah, they do.
Down
they do.
In southern part?
Bayside, somewhere. Yeah. Yeah.
And, look, and of course, the old man was a very, very good footballer
two-time
for North.
Two-time Brownlow medalist.
Sandover medalist. Yep. Right. Very, very good man too, Phil Kelly. And I know Josh was a massive North supporter growing up. I don't know whether that has any bearing on anything, by the way. Interesting talking to Adam Treloar, who I think came to Collingwood and had a great affiliation with Bucks, but also loved the club. So sometimes it can have an impact. I've got no idea.
And just from the Giants' perspective, they're happy for Josh Kelly to do what he feels he needs to do. They're looking at the bye period, BT, as to when they want an answer from him, which is still 5 weeks away on the GWS fixturing. So while he'll get closer to making a decision over the weekend, it won't be made public, obviously, if he's going, and it won't be. And the Giants are going to hoping to get an answer out of him around about the round 13 time of the season.
All right, thanks for that, Damo. Before we quickly leave that and get to Dicko, Dustin Martin is the one in that space that fascinates me. The longer that goes that he doesn't sign, the more fascinating that gets.
Well, I speak to Ralph Curry's manager reasonably regularly, Jim, as recently as last week on this, and he is adamant that nothing is done until the round 23 stage of the season.
No, so they're very strong on that.
He hasn't moved on that.
So therefore, what I would ask you with your antenna is that would mean to me that there is a significant chance that he won't be at the club next year. Because if he's very happy at Richmond, why wouldn't he just sign?
Couldn't see why he would take the pressure off him, especially before finals.
Absolutely.
Unless he's just rolling the dice and knowing that the heat of that moment, when it gets really pointy-ended, that the offer that's already been increased by Richmond will be increased again.
Yeah. Not playing today, huge name at Carlton, of course, is Jack Silvagni. Been good enough to join us. Jack, welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, you dinged your shoulder last week. The good news you were just saying to us off-air is you expect this to be the only week you miss.
Yeah, hopefully. It was just a big knock that I didn't really brace for. I sort of got caught in between, and that's where I got in a bit of trouble, so should be fine, should loosen up.
Structurally all good?
Yep, all good.
Nice news. Now, what are we expecting today? This is 125 years, and you don't need to be told anything about this with your dad and your grandfather and all of the amazing history that your family's had at this club, but Carlton and Collingwood don't like each other at all.
Not at all. 125 years today, so I think, as always, it's going to be a fierce contest, and if it starts to rain a bit, that'll add to the flavour of the game a bit. So
you would never need that explained, as I say, because of your heritage, but what about the other blokes playing? Do they seriously understand the history behind these two clubs, or is it just another game for a lot of your blokes?
No, I think the longer you're at the club, you understand, I guess, what this game symbolises, and Tony DeBolfo, the historian...
The beast.
The beast. He runs the first years through the history of the club, and I don't think it's any secret how big this game is to the AFL world. Like, it's a very well-known fact that Carlton and Collingwood dislike each other, and the game's a massive event.
So with the young players at the club, so Tony DeBolfo will get you in a room and teach you the history of the club?
Yeah, so with the...
You have to sit an exam at the end?
No. The first year's program that the AFLPA run, that's just a little extra that we add on. So I think that's really beneficial for the boys who don't know much about the club.
Well, your dad took a magnificent mark against this particular footy club, which is probably one of the best marks that Carlton players ever taken. It chip off the old block, isn't he? Came in here, pulled me on the jumper straight away, hung on to me just like his old man used to do. Gave, should have given away about 1,000 free kicks. I want to ask you, you read the game really well, Jack, and I haven't seen a lot of you live, BT and others that saw you come through the junior ranks. Do you see yourself as a permanent forward, or can you see yourself at some point going down back?
I think at some stage I'd like to head down back and even get in the middle at times. It's just sort of adding strings to your bow. You know, if you're a one-trick pony in the league, you're not going to last long anymore, and that's just the way footy is nowadays. So I think Jacob Wiedering's been, you know, probably the biggest case this year, where he's a stalwart down back for us last year, and he's been able to flip up forward and kick a few goals. So
your natural instincts are as a forward, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I played forward most of my juniors. Made my way down back in year 11 and year 12, sort of flipped around a bit. So I think at the moment up forward and see what happens in years to come.
Do you consume footy and all aspects of it, Jack, or do you try and escape the general rigmarole that is attached to it?
Before I got drafted, I was a massive footy head. And I think now that you're in the system, you're spending so much time around football that you take your days off and your weekends, unless you're playing, as times to get away from the game. Having said that, I'm always sort of watching footy, and if I'm not watching it intently, it's always in the background and it's always on. So I think it's that, but I do like my time away from footy, whether that's spending it with family, mates and or whatever, but as conscious as I am, footy's a really important part of my life, no doubt, and all the boys out there, it's a good thing to get away from it at times.
And getting the win, as you did last week, against the odds, what did that do by way of just what lies ahead for 2017 and obviously beyond, but just within this year?
I think, you know, we see a lot of young boys playing. Zach Fisher, obviously out this week, but Samo Petrevsky seat and other young boys, Tom Williamson and Charlie, who hasn't played a lot of footy either. Weeders has only played 20-odd games. You know, there's a lot of young players who are getting picked based on form, and it's not you're not being gifted games, which is a really positive sign for the club's growth and development. And I think throughout the year that's going to be the case. Cam Paulson played a game. Has been in some really good form in the twos and won't be far off. And then Dave Cunningham's been emergency the past couple of weeks. So we've got some really good young talent coming through, and I think that's an exciting prospect for this year, but particularly in the future.
A lot of talk about Daisy Thomas, which I think's unwarranted. I think he's had a lot of injuries. Obviously got himself back into some form last week, comes back into that side. How's he been during the week? Is he a vocal type guy? I mean, he's under all sorts of pressure on the outside. Is he a guy on the inside that sort of gets around and encourages and that type of thing?
Absolutely. He's definitely one of the big dogs and leaders of the group. He knows the game plan inside and out. He tries his guts out. It's just at times that his injuries do hamper him,
yep.
Which is a shame because he's a terrific player. And he's still got some good footy left of him, I'm sure. He went back in the VFL last week, dominated. So hopefully we see him, you know, have a really good game today.
Triple M Footy talking to Jack Silvani. I know you would have been asked this question, Jack. I've just never heard you answer it. How do you go with your surname? It's not Smith, so everyone knows who you are. Your heritage at this club is extraordinary, as I said, with your grandfather and your father. Is it something you found tough, or does it sit comfortably with you? You know, the supporter base, you know, the whole, you know, I guess baggage that brings. How do you go with it?
No, it's okay. I mean, I don't really feel much pressure, even, you know, behind the goals. I'm not heckled that much. I'm down there a bit, and cheer squads are always pretty nice to us, actually. So I don't think it's a bad thing. Obviously, I'm super proud of it and what Dad and my granddad have achieved. And hopefully I can carry that on in years to come.
And your old man, does he have much impact with what you do? Does he give you feedback? Does he, you know, or does he hands off and it's all up to Brendan?
He's not a Demir Dokic sort of dad, is he?
How does he go?
He's definitely not Demir Dokic. Yeah. Maybe under 13s he might have been. But he gives me feedback quite frequently. It's sort of tapered off now that I'm in a bigger system. It was pretty full on when I was in my juniors, but he does, and obviously my first point of call is the coaches. Take their feedback, and then if I need any more, I'll go to him and get his special comments.
What about Mum then? Is Mum the more encouraging, or does she give you feedback as well?
Mum tries to give feedback. She'll tell you if you're no good. She's generally pretty good at that. She tells me the first couple of games this year, she told me I was too slow.
So what'd you do about that? Just all of a sudden become quick?
It's pretty hard to do that, yeah. Flick the switch, but I had to start running apparently. So
what's the thing that surprised you in professional footy? What you've become a pro and all of a sudden you're there all the time. What's the one thing you surprised you?
The hours are hard to adjust. I mean, if you come out of school and the routine's set there, it's always the same. And you come into a footy system, but they're longer days. They're set, but they're longer days. And that was probably the biggest thing to adjust to. My first pre-season, and I'm sure all first and second year boys can vouch for this, that you're just buggered. You get home, you want to sleep. So I think that was the big thing. And then obviously the professionalism, your diet, your weights. I didn't do any weights before I got drafted. I was a little beanpole. So all that sort of stuff, the professionalist aspect of it.
When your time came to play your first game last year, Jack, and all the fanfare that came around it, did you feel you were ready for it? And if not, where did that moment come?
I didn't read into any of the fanfare. I think one thing I was sort of happy that happened was I played a couple of good games in the VFL. I got named in the squad to play St Kilda and then didn't get picked for the game, and that happened 3 weeks in a row before I got picked for the Collingwood game, which I guess, in hindsight, although I was disappointed I didn't get picked, it sort of dampened down the, I guess, fanfare and expectation.
And your own too, probably.
Yeah. So that was a big thing that helped, but just not paying attention to any of the papers, turning all phone notifications off and all that, because it was going berserk when I got named. So just little things like that, and tips that I got from blokes like Daisy and Murph and Dad, and even Bolts told me to turn my phone off. So.
And have you transitioned now into feeling and believing you are an AFL player?
I think so. Yeah. A big thing for me last year was my pressure. I knew I wasn't going to get a whole lot of the ball. So I really had to pride myself on my tackling and whatnot. And then this year, I've found myself running to better positions. So I think that's helped me get more of the ball. And then obviously trying to keep up, you know, that pressure aspect of my game too. That's what I want to base myself on, what the team wants to base ourselves on.
And Jack, similar to myself, you've been blessed as a very good-looking young man. Are you swinging hands with anyone, or are you just keeping things nice and quiet after hours? What are you doing, please?
Nah, keeping things very quiet at this stage.
I imagine that won't last for long. Are you drifting out at all, or does Mum just keep you at home?
Mum tries to keep me at home.
Yeah. I'd wander out a little bit, Jack. There's a nice bit of stuff out there that you could be immersing yourself in as a superstar, young blue. Good luck. Next week you're back. Good luck today, though. Big game for your club.
Thank you.
Jack Silvani, young star of the comp, one of our boys, Bristol. We like him. And Nerily Meadows joins us for the first time today. A bit of a scene setter outside from you, Nez. Welcome, by the way.
Thank you very much. I can tell you what, you can tell there's a blockbuster in Melbourne by three things: traffic, a lack of parking, and queues. There are queues galore outside the MCG, thousands of people waiting to get in. They've got their umbrellas up because, as you mentioned, at the moment there's a bit of rain about. We're hoping that clears by the time we have bounced down. They've had a marvellous moment walking from Collingwood HQ over to the MCG, a great march with many of their supporters, past and present players and all of those sorts of things, coming over to the MCG, a march to recognise 125 years for the Pies. So pretty awesome scenes, it must be said. Plenty of black and white, but plenty of navy blue as well. We love this blockbuster. We love this rivalry. Can't wait for the footy to start.
Thanks for that, Nez. I look forward to Nerily Meadows down on the boundary with Doc Rowan White.
When you've got a problem,
don't make a big deal,
and you need a wise head,
I must speak.
There's only one man who can help.
You tell him. You nitwit.
Welcome to Dear Brian.
Yes, that's what this one is, Dear Brian, and you get to it by sending us an email, dearbrian@mmmtheircapitals.com.au. And any sort of life issue you may have, you just need to ring us, email us at dearbrian@mmm.com.au.
Dear Brian?
Banger has from Clifton Hill, Brian. He says, Dear Brian, I've just moved into my new house, got a bit of an issue and I need some advice. Next door neighbours have two young kids, love playing basketball in the driveway at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning. They bounce the ball and yell for hours. Unfortunately, my bedroom sits directly behind their driveway, and being woken every Sunday after a big Saturday night, I'm far from impressed. How can I stop these kids from disrupting my much-needed Sunday morning sleep? I look forward to hearing your advice. Please help, Banger from Clifton Hill.
A couple of things there, JB. Probably ask them to stop. That probably won't happen. So then you move on to plan B. And that would be to sprinkle shards of glass over the concrete driveway where they play basketball, because at some stage the basketball will hit the ground puncher, or they will fall and have
kids.
No, but sleep. You're in the house next door in the front bedroom and you want to sleep, and all you hear is bang, 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 bang. A reticulation system. Put a sprinkler on your driveway so that it goes over the fence onto their driveway. If the glass doesn't work, perhaps it would become really slippery for the kids so that they get into trouble with injuries. So that's what I would do. Try the glass method first.
Another one here from Cooper. Dear Brian, since I was a young boy, I wanted to get a motorbike, Harley Davidson style. Mm. Now I'm 17. I want to get my license and buy a bike, but mum, sister, girlfriend and girlfriend's mum says if I get the license and buy a bike, they'll disown me. What do you suggest, says Cooper?
Get the bike. Absolutely, get the bike. And before you get the bike, get some tattoos. Get lots of them.
On your neck?
On your knuckles. On the knuckles, they're the real, you know, because when you're riding the bike, they're very prominent, the knuckles. Right. Think about it. You're hanging onto the handlebars. So, yeah.
Harley Davidson, a good one to start. Bristol, the big fat boy.
I'd probably go the Indian myself, but if you want to be real feral style, go the Harley Davidson, because that's where the ferals operate, in the Harley brand a little bit.
Really? Why is that?
They're a little bit more... A little bit more bikey than, you know, roadster style thing.
Geez, my brother-in-law's got a Harley, and he's very much not a bikey.
No, but he's got a bit he's got a fair bit of bogan about him, hasn't he?
No, he's a real geek.
Oh, he's a geeker.
He's got a Harley.
Oh, okay.
Now, tell you what we need to...
Right.
There you are, Brian. So, dear Brian, at mmmtheirecapitals.com.au if you want the great Bristler's advice. Life advice is what happens there. Last night, Chris Judd doing the worst on ground. Almost a Triple M first. Of course, there was the very, very famous occasion about 10 years ago when Sam Newman awarded Sav Rocker the worst on-ground votes when he was also given the three best on-ground votes. For only time that's ever happened. Sav kicked six, game at Amy Stadium, North Melbourne, best on-ground, and then Sam gave him the worst on-ground. But last night, Chris Judd, I think it was Nathan Brown, was given good votes for keeping General Patton very quiet. And anyway, let's have a listen to the way Chris Judd saw it.
Two votes goes to Nathan Brown, who didn't get a best on ground vote, I'll note.
Oh, two votes to Nathan Brown.
It was very clear that the three vote man, General Patton, was having an off day. We could have had Mark Stevens out there guarding General Patton, and he wouldn't have got a touch because he was off.
So you gave him two votes to the person who paid on a key forward. He got three votes.
Well, we.
He sees things differently, Juddy.
What's he doing, Juddy?
Yep. He's going very well on Friday nights, I know that.
I think he's lost his way there, Purple. Speaking of losing their way, Trav Varko may have just done that too. So we're awaiting Trav. He's not too far off. Purple, more news while we wait.
Just a couple of things. We didn't talk about the crowd last night as we rehashed the Giants and the Saints game. 21,160. To me, that's disappointing, BT.
I think it's almost a record crowd between those
two. Oh, BT, you know what? See how you straight away go positive and say, oh, it's a record crowd. If that was the Kangaroos... You get into the Kangaroos about
that's
their
true,
crowd all
you
the
would,
time.
Brian. True, Bristol.
Friday night when the Kangaroos played the Bulldogs, that was a record, and you had to go at the Kangaroos, and now you're sticking up for St Kilda. You've got, admit it here and now, you've got something against the Kangaroos.
So,
no doubt about that.
I'll apologise for being glass half full style. The facts are that I was nearly a record crowd.
If that was the Kangaroos, you'd be having a go at that. There was a poor crowd.
The record crowd between these two clubs is 21,000 and
forget
something.
The record previously, BT. It's a Friday night game. The Saints are marching to a point, they're playing a team that's premiership favourite. There should be more people there.
I believe they had record ratings. So the people watching it were there. It was almost a record crowd at the venue. What more could you
had
ask?
You had a crack at the Good Friday crowd between the Bulldogs and the Kangaroos.
At 42,000.
You had at 42,000. You had a crack and said,
did.
There was a few spare seats.
That's a public holiday.
You are kidding. You know what?
It's a public holiday.
You've got to stop getting out of the, you know what?
That's a blockbuster.
Of your mates, Richo, down at the Saints, and then having a crack at the Kangaroo supporters.
I haven't spoken to Richo for years. I can't help it if North Melbourne just don't attract people.
They do, Bristol. Average crowds have been up extraordinarily in the last 10 years.
Exactly right.
But let me tell you this,
Dave. The way I see it.
If I was Matt Finnis or attached to the St Kilda Football Club, I'm absolutely with you. I would have been very disappointed
you would have
with
been.
That as a Friday night crowd. Just over 20,000 is not what you should be attracting to a Friday night game against one of the most exciting lists in football.
But they will start to come. There's been a bit of misery at St Kilda over the last decade or so, under a decade. But so they'll start to come back once they realise they've got a good team. A couple of wins like that and they'll be back.
I know you caught it well, boys, for Channel 7, but the atmosphere was also lacking as a result of the crowd lacking. Daniel Hannabury, guys, has what we've been told is to be a mild form of OP, osteitis pubis, that once rampant AFL injury that seemingly was inflicting 7 or 8 players on every single club's list there for a period of time. It's gone away as a talking point.
It has gone away. You can get it from a lot of things. It's an overtraining.
Not just football, Doug.
Overtraining. No. I actually got osteitis pubis from riding a jet ski. Riding a jet ski.
Yeah. Is there anything you haven't had
over the summer? Yeah, plenty, BT. over the summer. So it's generally an overtraining, but you're right, it's just gone by the wayside. It's a very different injury to have these days.
There's an explanation for that, Damo, and that is that they have lessened the loads at the TAC Cup and junior level and the junior elite level so that when they come into the game, they're not overtrained. Remember, we were putting too much pressure on 16, 17, 18-year-olds to do too much training. They were doing too much
weight training as well as
weight training and running training and football training. Now you go to a TAC Cup training session and it's all about decision making. It's all about skill. There is not much load, and the load comes when they get to an AFL club. That's why we've got on top of it. Duck didn't know that, but that's the reality.
Hatterby himself is not buying into it, and the club isn't either. But again, we've been told that it is a mild form of it, so it's made a return to footy. But Paul Roos made some comments, Duck, about the Sydney Swans list. We know they're 0-6 and not tracking the way they felt they were going to be at this point of the season, quite clearly. And while I think we've all had our views and our critiquing of the Sydney Swans list with Buddy Franklin at the top end of it, with Kurt Tippett by way of the salaries, what that does at the bottom, I think we've all discussed it, but Paul Roos quite provocatively said that it leaves you extremely skinny down below with the last six and seven players of quality on your list, and as such that they're in this spiral where they're not going to be getting themselves out of it as a result of these big financial deals at the top end.
We looked at it on Talking Footy on Monday night. If you look at their talent, what Sydney got coming through and the debutantes that they've had over the last couple of years, they've got some real talent underneath. Don't worry about that. They're not going... If they were to miss the finals this year, they're a side that can bounce straight back in next year, given their talent. The Buddy Franklin experiment, I read the article. Look, to me, I've always said, if they don't win a flag, having gone after Buddy and Tippett, then to me... the experiment's been a failure. Not a failure for Buddy as an individual, because I don't think he could have given any more. All Australian, played terrific footy.
Two grand finals.
Have they been in every final series since he's been there?
Yes. But he didn't play in 2015, if you recall.
That's right. The Kurt Tippett one, because of injury and a little bit of form, has been probably a failure. So who have they lost because of those guys getting in it? They've lost Mumford, they've lost Malcheski, and probably Mitchell. They're the three that stand out. Are they superstars? I wouldn't say so. I don't think they've lost a lot. What they have lost is obviously money to engage or attract other players now to the footy club. But I do agree with... if they don't win a flag, then I believe that it's been a failure.
What will interest me will be the Sydney mindset over the next 3 or 4 years, Purple.
Yeah,
with GWS on this upward spiral and everyone expects them to be very good now for 5 years, if Sydney have a quiet patch and GWS fly, what happens behind the scenes interests me enormously. In commission level, and because they are the great lobbyists of AFL football, the Sydney Swans.
You think there might be another request for the cost of living allowance?
I don't know what it'll be, but I just reckon they'll be starting to say, you know, because there's always this argument that the AFL has to have a vibrant Sydney Swans outfit. You know, we rely on Sydney being up and about for the game to survive in this market. Well, now you've got another team across town who are flying and will get better and better. I will watch this space.
I worry even more when we go through the cycle of this current cycle of GWS. They reach the top and then they start to bottom out on the other side. That is the real worry for me. When that'll be, I don't know.
And they've got to reach the top too, Brian. Yep. And that's what we were talking about this morning.
Social media, big part of what we do every week, of course, at Triple M Footy, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And the best piece of feedback on the rub today takes home a brand new Sharon Footy. This is a match day ball valued at around $200. And Duck, you've got the honours.
Yeah, I've got a few here, JB. So these are some of the best. I'll pick a winner.
Don't try and be humorous, Wayne.
I just pulled over and gave myself a proper 5 minutes to recover from what only can be described as a verbal shipwreck from BT. That's from Liam McMahon. Really like that one. Okay, my cousin is playing under nines and isn't very good. Should I just tell him to give up now, Briss? That's from James Barry. Well done. BT should read random passages from the Taylor Diaries at the dinner, chosen by Warrior and the Pack. Lockie, thank you very much. And this one is very, very good. For all the people putting players' name, just remember, they played AFL footy. Why, all of you can only dream of it.
We're talking about and players from, in the Collingwood top 125.
That's right, and that's from Paul Stevens. And because he's half glass full, he wins the footy.
You're giving him the pill.
I'm giving him the pill.
He was terrible.
Telling all those pack out there, telling people, bringing up these names of these blokes that have actually got to AFL level. The Jason Wilds of the world, the Paul Keys, and
Terry Keys.
I didn't even know. Terry Keys,
Brad Paul Keys. Brad O'Born, Terry Keys, yeah. Jason Wosley.
Yep, all of those. Paul Stevens, you're right. They at least played the game, and that's why you win the footy.
And are you going to sign that footy for him, Doug?
Andrew,
well, if he wants it to be worth 250 rather than 200, I will sign it.
Now, Purple, while we're waiting, we're not sure what's going on with Trev Barco. We hope he drops by, but if he... we're hearing.
Don't worry.
Yeah, just a couple of things floating around, Jim. Port Adelaide versus Gold Coast playing in Shanghai next Sunday week.
Yep.
Big game and obviously
game
big
there.
Promotion.
Mm-hmm.
As of very late Thursday night, and I don't believe anything's changed, no TV broadcast.
Sold out, Damo.
Sold out. Well, 10,000 people, BT, yeah. As of that time, and I don't believe this has changed, Jim, no TV broadcast.
I beg your pardon?
No TV broadcast into China
Purple.
Itself.
Oh, sorry.
Which
is going to do the game.
Yeah, I know. And look, that will be fine over here. But it does seem strange that a week out, or 10 days out as it was, there's no TV broadcast into the game. So all this promotion and all these 50 million people of eyeballs that David Koch felt were going to be watching it, at this stage, won't see one kick.
All right. Thanks for that, Purple. Trav Varko's been good enough to drop by. Travy, welcome to you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, what's going on with you physically, please?
Just had a bit of a strain in the hammy and, just more see how it goes over the next week or so.
So what is the expectation you're thinking?
I just did a walk-jog today and... I'll just knock over each session as it presents itself and just see how we go from there.
So you look like you almost went back on last week. You weren't quite sure whether it was strained or just a bit of cramp. You look like you were pretty keen to go again.
Yeah, the boys were playing pretty well and I think the only reason for me to come back on if someone was, either knocked out or, a game-ending injury. But luckily for me, I was able to stay off and let the boys just carry on and do what they had to do.
How many seasons at Geelong?
Nine.
Three seasons at Collingwood now. Yep. Have you played, I personally think you have, your best footy has been here at Collingwood. Would you agree, despite the, the...
Premiership.
The Premiership?
Yeah, I think so. And I'll probably put it down, obviously, being a younger group, having to step up a little bit. At Geelong, we had, anyone of probably 15 players that could have taken the reins at any one time. So
you're playing a major, a bigger role at Collingwood, aren't you?
Yeah, I feel like I am. So, and obviously the young guys love to soak up what you have to say. So, whereas Geelong, you probably know all the answers and you sort of sit there and, you probably got, anyone of 15 guys that would build out anything.
Trav, is it your fitness, the difference? Because I think you're a big loss today. I think you're an integral part of Collingwood. You run,
carry.
You give them, you run and carry. But your fitness, I watch you go now from defence to attack. Your running ability, is that been the big difference, you reckon, over the last few years?
Oh, I think 100%. Obviously, with Bill Davern, our fitness guru down there, I've just been able to transform into a bit more of a running machine. At Geelong, we love the contested ball and, like bash and crash. So I've been able to get away from the weight side of things and just concentrate a bit more on the running. And it's allowed me to get to a lot more contests than I've previously had. So, I've actually think I'm a lot more running capability. Strength has gone down a bit, but that's... Yep. That's a given, I guess.
Now, Trav, Ed called the whole club in, I believe, on Thursday. Staff, players, the whole thing. Had a bit of a chat about how important the 125th year celebration was. Is that basically what he said? What did he say?
Yeah. He's a very passionate man. Yep. And, anyone that knows him, he loves his club. And, this doesn't go... It obviously goes back to, 125 years, so...
Was it an impromptu meeting? Wasn't planned, was it? Just happened?
No, just, It just came about. And it was good for the boys to actually get an understanding of what it actually means. We're out there, pull on the stripes each week and, we just get the job that we have to do in front of us. But what it actually means to, the actual supporters, people that have followed this for a long time... there's a few things there that's probably surprised me and that I didn't know. So we're a lot wiser and I'm sure the boys will hopefully go out and carry that out with them.
Now, the club's been under all sorts of pressure. Nathan Buckley, as we know, week in, week out, always conjecture about, will he last the year and all that sort of stuff. I love the fact that last week you took the game on. You really played with a freedom. You moved the ball more quickly inside 50. You obviously converted better, which makes a big difference when that's the aim of the game, is to actually kick goals. But is that the same message? Is that what he's been driving during the week? Let's play. Let's use our natural talent.
I think it's a more reward for hard work. The boys have done it. They're not as ebbs and flows, and we were able to pull it together for longer periods of time and do it for longer than the opposition. And I think we've got the capability to do it. It's doing it on a consistent basis, and that's what separates the good teams from the great teams.
And Trev, just the specifics of being able to turn it around from the dismal performance on Anzac Day with the 5-day break before the game against Geelong. Can you look back on that patch now, that 5-day patch, and work out what it was that clicked for you and allowed you to be so different just 5 days later?
Yeah, I don't think we did anything too much different. Obviously, the training program was to freshen up the boys, but we just stuck to everything that we've trained through pre-season. Didn't change a hell of a lot.
So it was maybe not abandoning what you'd done?
No, definitely not. You didn't need to reinvent the wheel after a performance like that. You just got to reinforce what actually works for us. And, if we put it together, like I said, more often than not, you're going to get those results. So just sticking to the task.
And Wellesley hasn't made it to the line today. He's a late withdrawal, blew up the machine that went red and said, no, he's got to be managed today, or some test you have down there.
Something like that. So yeah. Obviously the shorter breaks don't help him. And, I'd like him to be around for the whole year. And if that's to manage him today, then, we're going to be a lot better for it.
Hey, Trav, I know you'll be interested in this. Near map aerial imagery. North Melbourne off to a fast start against Adelaide. 3-1 Although Eddie Betts is about to take a shot on goal, and if he sticks that through...
Oh, look at the win.
He actually kicked it out of bounds on the full.
That was his 500th if it went through, Jim, but it wasn't.
So 3-1 to no score. Trav, good luck with your own physical setup, but also not only the Pies today, but the rest of the season. Thanks for dropping by.
Cheers. Thanks.
Trav, star of the comp. Yes, please.
Time now for Tell Me Something I Don't Know. I've got a couple of little ones, Damo, that you may or may not be interested in. In fact, you may or may not know something about. I don't know. But I do know that all things AFL, TV matters, that sort of thing. See you, Trav. Good on you, mate. Thanks for coming in. Just there's a little program.
You're on air, Beats.
You're on air.
I know. But saying goodbye to Trav.
That's it.
Can't just let him walk
out. Exactly right, Bristol. Yeah,
there's a little program. I think it's called Whistleblowers. It's a sort of a program based on loosely on What's Your Decision, the old style World of Sports sort of
great
thing.
Great show.
I am told that this has reached the highest of high officers at headquarters, and that this particular show, you may never ever see it again.
Oh.
It may be gone for good, because those at the top think that it's not good that the umps have a show to explain. I thought it was good because I could go and find out the answer to a particular decision, but they think it perhaps is not showing the game.
Finito.
Well, I think finito. Right. I think it's unlikely.
That's a bit precious, isn't it?
If you see it again, it'll be a surprise, put it that way.
Okay.
So that was called Whistleblowers. Have you heard of the show, Damon?
I know the show, but... Yeah.
Who hosts it, do you know?
It's just the umpires at the panel asking the umpires what was going on, and it's a good show. It's a good show.
Okay. We're about to blast off down at Simmons Stadium. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have the big opening there of the new stand, about round 7 or 8 or something, I think it is, round 8, 9, or somewhere. Anyway, it's a Friday night game down there soon. Things aren't quite what they should be. They've spent several million dollars there, concrete stands, big rooms, big glass windows, and they've put a siren in that they can't turn off.
No way.
So VFL game today, umpire walks out with the ball aloft, they blow the siren to show that they're there, and then it would not stop.
No.
So the siren has been sounding now, I'm told, for about an hour.
It's an air raid.
The game was held up.
For an hour.
The game was held up for at least 3 minutes. Half an hour.
It got held up because of the noise.
Well, the siren, they couldn't turn it off.
They couldn't start the game.
Listen to the Mayo bristles laying on it. About an hour
Anyway, the VFL game was substantially delayed.
So that will impact on an AFL game, do you think?
Well, just get things right. If you want us to come down there on a Friday night and make it all look good. And
Jim loves going down there.
Want me to climb up a light tower and all that sort of thing. then get the... they've always had electricity problems
down there.
I like
it, Brushall. I like it. Very nice. You always hear something you don't know on Triple M Football. Now, just before we get to the break, Guard of Honour, Brushall, for Collingwood. This is for 125 years and some of the great names involved in the Guard of Honour.
That's right.
Thorold Merritt, Murray Wiedemann from back in the 50s, Kevin Rose, the great Kevin Rose, Dennis Banks, Peter Pele Dacos, Gavin Brown, superstar, of course. Oh. Des Tudnam's going to be involved.
Ronnie Richardson, rarely seen these days.
Peter Moore, fabulous Phil Carman, Stan Magro.
Oh, there's some great names there. Let's just recap. Are they going to name the top 10 players tonight at this function?
It's not about individuals. Oh, it's about 125 years.
What a downer. Hey, we're not even going to know who the best players are Collingwood, who they think the best players are.
Just because you want to compare yourself downer. To lists.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.